tonight to Ephesians 4 as we continue our study on the thriving church. And tonight we're going to look at every member ministering. Every member ministering. Now, we've already seen for the church to grow, we've stated that each individual member has to grow. This is plain, simple truth, right? If we want our church to grow, if we want it to grow quantitatively, if we want it to grow qualitatively, we need to be growing. And as we grow, the church grows. So let's review from Ephesians 4 something. Last week I wasn't here. I think we had a missionary speaker last week, right? I wasn't here. Thankful for the speaker. But let's review just a little bit to get us caught up again. So what causes growth in the church according to Ephesians 4? Not according to the latest book, but what causes church growth according to Ephesians 4? Working at unity, us working at being unified, cultivates a growing body, verses 1 and 2. We're supposed to be working at unity. What's the problem with a lot of churches? They're not unified, right? So we need to be working at unity. Number 2, right foundational truths are essential to a growing body, verses 4 through 6. We need to have truth that we all believe and we all rally around and behind and support and believe and propagate truth. So we have to be not only united, but we have to have foundational truths that are essential to a growing body. That's why a church has a doctrinal statement, so that doctrine, you know, as members are welcomed, that doctrine is agreed upon, and it's foundational to our ministry. Number 3, we've seen that gifts from the ascended Christ empower growth in the body. We've seen that already from verses 7 to 10. The Lord Jesus Christ are crucified, buried, risen, ascended Lord has given the church gifts to empower the church to grow. And then number 4, the last time we were together, we saw pastors who equip cause growth in the body, verses 11 and 12. So one of the ministries of the pastor is to equip the saints. And we've already seen some of the people who cause growth in the church. Remember, we saw the establishers. The establishers were the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists. And we talked how there are no more apostles. There are no more prophets. The evangelists being like the ones who take the gospel to uncharted territories, the church planters. And then we saw the equippers. The pastors and teachers who minister the word in a way that restores people to a right condition so they can fulfill their intended ministry. And we looked at that word equip in the Greek, and it talks about, it's a medical term that talks about the mending of a broken bone, right? How many of you have had broken bones? Okay? And, you know, in having your broken bones, you've had either casts put on. Sometimes it may have required surgery and pins and plates and screws. But what is the idea? To mend so that whatever the broken part is can be useful again. We talked how that word equipping also carried the idea. It was a nautical term also, that when a ship would be out to sea for so long and it would come back to port, how it needed to be retooled and resupplied and sometimes repaired. And just think about, you know, people out there in life, right? We get broken and we welcome broken people. We're out there in life and our supplies are getting worn up and used up and our sails are torn and we need to come in and be mended. That's the ministry of the church. And that's part of the ministry of the pastor, to equip, to mend people so that they could go out and be useful. Okay? So tonight we'll look at a third group of people, though, who cause growth in the church. And that's from verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So tonight we're going to look at the saints. Who are the saints? Y'all are saints. Okay? We don't have to wait for the Catholic Church to canonize us. The minute we were saved, we became saints. And we'll talk about what that means in a minute. But who are the saints? Who are the saints? Go back to chapter 1 of Ephesians. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. Who are the saints? Every believer is a saint. Ephesians 1, 1 and 2. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice Paul is writing. He's writing to who? The saints that are at Ephesus. It's not a select few. It's everybody. If you are a believer, you are a saint. Saint Joseph is sitting in the back row. Saint David and Saint Dale and Saint on and on. You're all saints. But, you know, not because we were canonized by anybody, but the word saint, is a form of the word sanctified. And what does the word sanctified mean? Set apart, right? Set apart. When we trust Christ as our Savior, we are immediately set apart from a life of self-centeredness to a life of Christ-centeredness, right? We're selfish. And the world revolves around me. And, you know, that was all of our life before Christ. And when God saved us, he took us, many things happened, but in context of this word study, he took us from that life of self-centeredness and placed us into a life of Christ-centeredness. Christ should be the center of our life. You ever see those pie graphs? You know what a pie graph is, right? And you've seen people try to fit Christ into, you know, a slice of their life. You know, well, I have to make time for this and for this and for this. Christ is the center of our life. And every part of our life, whatever is in that pie graph, whatever part of our life, whether it's work or family or recreation, ministry, worship, Christ needs to be the center of everything we do. So being a saint means we're sanctified and we're set apart to a life of Christ-centeredness. And much of this, friends, much of this happens in the local church. What do we mean by that? Well, much of how we learn not to be so self-centered, but have a Christocentric life is by messages, right? And teaching. It's by discipleship. We all should be, and you know that we really push for that here in Hill and Winnisquam for being a discipler and being discipled, right? And how else do we go from a life of self-centeredness to a life of Christ-centeredness by ministering, right? We minister to others. And when we minister to others, we do this for the glory of God. And as we minister, and as we come to church to worship and adore Christ and to minister, the focus comes off of us and is put on Christ and put on others. And so, who are the saints? Every believer is a saint, okay? So, we've already seen the establishers, right? The establishers, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. And we talk about how the evangelist comes in. In today's world, there's no more prophets, there's no more apostles. We've already dealt with that. But the evangelist comes, the church is started, the church is growing, the pastor comes along, and he begins to equip the people, and then he's equipping the saints to be equippers also for the work of the ministry. That is the church. So who is equipping? Who is equipping? What is equipping? I can't even read my own notes. What is equipping? If you have a problem in your life, think about this, friends. If you have a problem in your life, do you turn everywhere else except the local church for your help? You know, a lot of times people do. Now, I'm not talking if you have a broken bone. If you have a broken bone, don't come here. Well, maybe if Dr. Doan is here, but, you know, I'm not talking about that. But we're talking about, you know, marital problems, financial problems, relationship problems, spiritual problems, you know, emotional problems. Do you go elsewhere and think of going elsewhere church first or to your church? Now, I realize sometimes the church can't handle all situations. And sometimes the church is not equipped to handle certain situations. But our first thought should be the church. One of the things that saddened me as a pastor is to see people turn everywhere else for help except their local church. And also people wait until the problem is so serious and out of control before they seek help. And then they come to our office and they say, fix this right away if you can. Well, how long has this problem been brewing? Oh, a long time. Magic wand. Pastor Rhodes, don't you wish you had a magic wand sometimes when all those people came and, you know, but seriously, friends, every member of this body must be willing to be equipped. Now, what do we mean by that? Sometimes that's painful, isn't it? Remember, what does the word equip mean? We learned this a couple of weeks ago. You know, fixing broken bones, mending and retooling and restocking the ship. Sometimes, you know, when we're out there and we get involved in life, we get broken. And sometimes it's embarrassing, some of the things that break us. And we don't like to talk to people in the church about it. But you know, that's what God gave us each other for. Now, yes, there are some problems that we may need to seek extra help. But here's something everybody in this church can be doing. Praying for each other, right? Even if something is more serious than the church can handle. I have a dear, dear friend that he and his wife right now are going through serious problems. You know, not marital problems, but serious problems. And the church is just not equipped to handle this type of a problem. So we seek other Christian ministries that can help, but with the church's support. And you know, but every one of us must be willing to be equipped. Members need to be open to their pastor's ministry to them so that they will be equipped to help the body grow. Friends, if you and I want to help somebody be right, we need to be right, right? Remember the parable of the Lord? You know, you're worried about the little speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and you're walking around with a support beam sticking out of your eye. That doesn't, you know, oh yeah, let me help you with your little problem. Wait, you know, and of course, it's hyperbole there. The Lord is using that exaggeration to stress a point. You know, we need to make sure we're right if we're going to help somebody else. The wonderful ministry of RU. You know, there have been people who have gotten right with God and gotten victory over their strongholds. And they are able to more effectively minister to somebody and help them with their problems. Why? Because they got right. We're not going to go to a drug addict to get help with our addiction, are we? That doesn't make any sense. So if you are help, if you are to help someone get right, you need to be right. Some Christians also use their problems and struggles as an excuse for not being involved in serving. How many of you have problems and struggles? I have both hands up, right? Sometimes we use those as excuses, don't we? Oh, no, you don't want me to help. Well, maybe we don't. But a lot of times people just use them for excuses. And they won't get right. And that should not be the case. Remember, friends, it's not about our comfort. It's not about our relief. It's not even about our victory. It's all about Christ and His glory. And that's why, you know, that's what we do everything for, the glory of Christ. And you know, it's wonderful that God repairs broken people and then uses broken people. We're all broken. We all came to Christ broken. And we all continue to need to be fixed and repaired in our daily sanctification. And we need to understand that. There isn't a perfect Christian in this room. And if you think you are, and if you don't think you have any problems, that's a problem. But, you know, we need to allow the Word of God and the ministry of His Word and the ministry of the pastors and the teachers to help equip us so we can go out and minister to other people. So what is the work of the ministry? Look at verse 12 again. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. how many times when we meet somebody, do we say, what is it that you do? You know, what's your occupation? What's your job, right? A lot of times we say that as a way to start a conversation. And every Christian should have a job, a ministry in their local church. Every one of them. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Every single one of us is involved in the work of the ministry. Every one of us. It's not Pastor Andrew and myself. It's every one of us. Our ministry is a ministry of equipping. And you know, so that you all can also go out and do the work of the ministry. You know why I believe this with all my heart, friends? You know why I believe that God is blessing the ministries of Hill Village Bible Church and Winnesquam Bible Church? Because you are doing the work of the ministry. It's not just Pastor Andrew and me. If it were Pastor Andrew and me, the church would not grow. You know. But it is because we're all involved in the ministry. And then we can multiply ourselves. You know, every Christian should have a ministry in the local church. If you are a saint, if you are a Christian, you are being equipped so that you can fulfill your ministry in the church. This is what the work of the ministry is. The word work here means activity or occupation. So that word work, activity, occupation. The work of the ministry, the occupation of the ministry. The word ministry means service to another. So our occupation in the church, our work in the church, is activity geared toward others. And the word edifying means building up. So our activity of service to others to build them up, which builds up the church. So that's what all of us are. We're builders. We're edifiers. And we do that by sharing the gospel, by handing out tracts, by telling people about the Lord. We do that by encouraging each other in our walk. Is it this coming Sunday afternoon? The book of James is being recited, right? Sunday morning. So Sunday morning, the book of James is being recited. You know, and I'm sure there's been a lot of edifying and encouraging in that, right? Come on, you can do it. No, I can't. Yes, you can. No, I can't. Yes, you can. You know, and there's been a lot of that. And a couple of weeks ago, Raina came over from next door and she repeated all of chapter 2 to me. The whole chapter. And I went, you know, that was awesome. She didn't even skip a beat. She hardly even breathed. Just, you know, she just went. And so, you know, but that's what we do. Jesus is building his church, friends, and he is using us to do it. We work for Jesus. It's not our church, it's his church. So the work of the ministry Paul is writing about encompasses any responsibility that is required to help the church to grow quantitatively and qualitatively. Both pastors and saints are called to serve in the church. So three simple applications and we're done. Number one, recognize the privilege of working in the church to help it to grow. It's a privilege to be involved in the ministry. And a lot of times I think we have this mentality here, I think, in the American church. I've had the privilege, and I was just in the Philippines. I've been there 5-6 times now, and they understand this, you know. And even their pastors aren't full-time. Many of their pastors have to work full-time jobs besides be a pastor. But we have this mentality in America that, well, you know, the paid people are the ones that are supposed to do everything. And certain churches are set up that way, which is wrong on their part. You know, we've got this monstrous staff where, you know, this pastor visits and this pastor preaches and this pastor does this and that pastor does that and the people sit. You know, that's not the biblical model. Okay, that's more like a CEO church. So recognize the privilege of working in the church to help it grow. Accept the responsibility of serving. That's something that each one of us have to do. Accept that responsibility. God has given us the responsibility to serve in his church. And then, number three, find a ministry and serve. If you don't know where to serve, ask the pastors. You know, we will find a place for you to serve. Every member should be serving in ministry. I can't do much. Well, then we'll give you a little ministry to do. And that will help the church grow and help you to grow and it will bring glory to God. Every member serving honors Christ and helps the body to grow. Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at how do you measure growth. Remember, are we the only family that did this? On our wall, we had this one place that we never painted, and it was the kids' growth marks, right? You put the kid up against the wall, and you put a ruler over his head, and you make a mark, and you write their name and the date, right? And, you know, and my mother didn't have that on a wall, but she had a growth stick. And every time the boys would go, because we lived in New York at that time, my mother lived in New Jersey, you know, oh, Grandma, we want to see how much we grow from the last time we were here. And, you know, how does a church, though, measure growth? You know, and we've already talked, it's not all only about numbers. There's a lot of ways a church can grow. So tonight, as we go to prayer, make sure we pray, you know, for every member to be ministering. If you have a ministry, praise God. If you don't have a ministry, talk to us and we'll get you a ministry. Amen.